Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday night, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? More than ever, we're finding out how important it is for each one of us as an individual to be able to hear God clearly for ourselves. I'll never be asking you to trust in these teachings or depend on these teachings or memorize and understand these teachings or any of the processes or procedures or strategies. The desire and the goal of all these processes and techniques instead are to encourage you and motivate you and assist you in learning to hear from God for yourself. There will always be deception out there. Instead of running from it, we must learn how to expose it and overcome it. There will be times when that will need to be done publicly, but our focus will always be what is our responsibility in any given situation? And that will always come back to the only one who can tell you that from a spiritual perspective is God Himself. Now, one of the reasons we started in practical Christianity and talking about the three realms is to try to get a grasp on the different levels of authority and responsibility in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural or soulical realm, and in the natural realm. And each realm has a level of authority that we have to recognize. There are laws that govern each realm that should be respected, must be respected in that realm. In other words, natural laws, even though we are spiritual beings, as a spirit, you have a soul, but you live in your body. Your body is under natural laws. And to try to think that we can violate those laws without consequences, and likewise in the soulical realm, to try to think we can violate soulical, supernatural laws without consequences is to be fooling ourselves, is to not understand that while we still have a soul, and who knows if we'll ever lose it, likewise with our body, we know some point in time that there is transformation, whether it just goes into the grave or what have you. We know there are changes. And when that happens, when we are out of each one of those areas, we are no longer under those laws. Likewise, as a spirit being, who you truly are, is not under earthly law or soulical, supernatural law. But that's just your spirit. Your soul does abide by supernatural law, and your body does abide by natural law. Gravity, physical time, physical laws. Likewise, the law of the realm, the, you know, whatever country you live in, there are laws that you must honor. Not, and even that, there comes a time when, depending on God, may cause you to violate those laws, understanding that there will be consequences to that violation. Regardless, our goal, our focus, must be to not settle for anything less than absolute clarity. And that's that completion, spirit, soul, and body being one, aligned behind our spirit, so that we are receiving with absolute clarity what God is already giving us, spiritually speaking. We will not be able to prevent deception relying on our own understanding, our own gifts, relying on those around us to see things we can't. That will never be enough. We must be learning to hear from God himself, his voice. This is an area he's very jealous over us. He doesn't want us going to someone else before we go to him. Lord, what is going on in this situation? Lord, what do I do here? Lord, is this you? And there's always something going on in the body of Christ, in the natural realm, in the supernatural realm. Much of it can be merely a distraction. But some of it can be damaging, unnecessarily so. So we want to be respectful of the situation God has placed each one of us in, and be aware of his direction. When he brings something to our attention, don't just ignore it. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Lord, is that you? Lord, do you just want to teach me about this? Or is this something I'm supposed to be doing something with? Because, so, bottom line is, we don't want to presume that we can understand what's going on at any given time. This is where we could really look at that illustration of being like a little child. Not trusting in our own understanding, our own abilities, our own perceptions, but always going to Daddy. What's going on here? Daddy, what's going on? Is this you? Is this something from you? Is this safe? Is this something I should take authority over? Or should I run from it? And be aware, we've talked about this before, that as your dependence on God grows, you become your enemy's enemy. While you were just trying to do things on your own, you were no threat to the world, the flesh, or the devil. Because in and of yourself, you have no power over them. But as you are growing in dependence on God, your acknowledgement as a spirit being of having authority and responsibility increases. And the more you know who you are, the less you allow your enemies to occupy your territory. And you not only route them out of their hiding place, but you set them to flight. So you become a target. We've talked about what true warfare is in each one of these realms. But talking is one thing. Experience and going through it is another. But you can do it, because all you need to do is learn to depend on God. He will give you whatever weapons, whatever instruction, whatever. He will prepare you for each day's adventures. So don't be too distracted. Be aware, but don't be too distracted by what the comings and goings of what's going on in the body of Christ. You be focused on what God has on your plate. So we've been talking about the Old Covenant and the New Testament, and why it's so important to understand the overlap of these ages and how time affects, earthly time affects how we communicate with God, and therefore how we have developed the beliefs we now hold. Under the Old Covenant, our righteousness, or our ability to have relationship with God, was obtained through fulfilling all the law. But under the New Testament, our ability to have relationship is based on being in Christ. Grace is receiving unconditionally what God gives unconditionally. So this New Testament, this new testimony, just like our last will and testaments, went into permanent effect at the death of the testator, God, mediated by his Son on the cross. So just like if you have a will, it does not go into effect until you die. So you can't have two covenants in effect at one time. You can't have two claims on one promise. To try to have a relationship with God based on the law and grace denies time, denies the actions of what happened 2,000 years ago. Just as if you had your relationship with your family when you died, you could not have that same relationship. Your will goes into effect. And whatever you have in the will, that now supersedes any legal activities that were occurring in your life, in relationship, before you died. So everything changes. You can't have it both ways. You can't have relationship with God according to law and grace at the same time. So, as our soul and body begin to line up with our new identity, that of a spirit being, we come more and more out from under the law. Notice, nothing happened to the law. We were changed. Because in the meantime, the law continues to have an effect on our soul and our body. as it does on those around us. And everything else in the supernatural and natural realms. In the spirit, we are no longer under the law. So this is now who we are. This is your new identity. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Though the law may affect or influence your soul and your body, you are not under its control. The law cannot tell you who you are. Let's look at it this way. The old covenant was like a marriage covenant. Now these days, in the ceremony, we use the phrase, till death do us part. And it was the same thought in Paul's day. The idea being that if either the husband or the wife died, the marriage was over. The remaining spouse was free to remarry. Death ended the contract or covenant, leaving the door open for either entering into a new contract or none at all, remaining free from contractual obligations altogether. So in Adam, being born into this world, we are all born married to the law. One of the characteristics of this present age is that the law is still in effect for those born into it. That makes sense. So someone in the marriage covenant has to die in order for the new relationship to be instituted. We were bound to the law. So how did God handle this? We could not be bound to the law and bound to Him at the same time, through grace. So how did God handle this? Since the law was still in effect, and someone in the relationship had to die, either us or the law, God killed us. In the spiritual realm, where eternity supersedes time altogether, as we are quickened in life in Christ, we are not only crucified and buried with Him, we are resurrected with Him as well. God takes us out of the time zone that we live in today and places us back into the body of Jesus Christ as He is being crucified. And we die with Him. And we are buried with Him. And finally, we are resurrected with Him as He is resurrected. Here's a little question for you to consider. When did the first disciples die to the law? At the crucifixion. When did they become born again? At the resurrection. So when did Saul of Tarsus die to the law? Though Jesus did not reveal Himself to Saul on the road to Damascus until sometime after He had already ascended to the Father, Saul died to the law at the crucifixion. So when did you and I become dead to the law? 2,000 years ago. We just didn't know about it. And when do we become born again? Though we accept Jesus' life in our present time, we actually became born again 2,000 years ago when we rose with him in his eternal life. So say you were put up for adoption at a very young age and adopted by the Smith family. No one else knows you're not a Smith, and you are raised as a Smith, treated as a Smith, and think of yourself as a Smith. Then one day, you discover you were actually born into the Jones family. Genetically, you've been a Jones all along. But because you didn't know this, you believed and behaved like a Smith. Did discovering that you were really a Jones suddenly make you a Jones and not a Smith? No. You were a Jones all along. Likewise, finding out and finally believing who and what we are in Christ doesn't make it true. Because we are born into his family, we have all the benefits that go along with it. Not because we believe it, but because it's true. If you are a believer, you are living in a new time zone, a new realm, eternity, whether you believe it or not. Our battle is to believe it. The behavior will follow. So, let's look at the example of Lazarus. Probably all familiar with that example of Lazarus' friend who died. Now imagine yourself standing outside that tomb, and Jesus has just arrived. Lazarus has been dead for 3 days now, and as the Bible reports, he stinketh. Think of Lazarus as a person now. He died of something. For our sake, for the sake of our illustration, let's say it was pneumonia. Now, it could have been he had an accident or any number of things. But for now, let's say he had died of pneumonia and has been dead and buried. What does Jesus have to do in order to raise Lazarus from the dead? When we really think about it, there are actually two things that have to be done in order for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. He has to restore his life and heal what caused his death. If Jesus only restored his life, Lazarus would still have pneumonia, and he would simply die again. Likewise, if Jesus only healed the pneumonia, Lazarus would still be dead, he just wouldn't have pneumonia. So Jesus had to do both. He removed what caused Lazarus' death. He removed the germs. And he gave him life. He got his heart pumping again. This is a parallel of what he does for us. At his crucifixion, Jesus removed permanently what causes us death. He changed our inherited sin nature. Then at his resurrection, he gave us life, his own eternal life. So he healed what kills us, what causes our death, and he gives us life by raising us with him in the resurrection, giving us that new identity as a joint heir, a co-inheritor, a son of God. The ramifications of this affect how we see ourselves, how we see others, and especially how we see God. If we fail to recognize the magnitude of what happened 2,000 years ago, we will continue to live as if it were true. We will live a lie that we must still abide by the law and the natural law and the supernatural law, superseding the eternal life that God has already given us. So as we go forward, we will take time to recall the nature of our new identity, that we are even now seated in him, with him, around him. Spiritually speaking. And that is our reality. We have the opportunity to learn how to rule and reign on this earth as spirit beings. Because what caused our death to begin with, our old sin nature, was dealt with 2,000 years ago. And we have everything we need to live a godly life now. And that is God's eternal life, his very substance, who he is. So there's no excuse, just total freedom. We can be who we are. We just have to be very clear about who and what that is. So hopefully that gives you something to think about. And take it to the Lord and ask him, Lord, is there any area in my belief system that needs to change, that does not line up with your truth? Because that's the only thing that matters, is knowing him, relying on him, depending on him, because he is your teacher and he is your life. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together tomorrow at 6:30 to be talking about getting healed. Until then, have a great evening, and thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.